So good evening, everyone, and also Merry Christmas. And one of my job is my job that is to give a counseling. People will come to me, and the most frequent ask and a problem that people ask is how to enhance their relationship. And sometimes it's really shocking, like how sometimes that even some of the there's another case that, you know, we have people come to me, they're going through divorce, going through separation, and then they're going through court case, we're fighting for the custody of their child, and I have to listen to all these stories about, you know. And then they ask advice, even how, you know, I have to go to court case or tomorrow, you know, how am I going to deal with it? And I have to give, you know, they come for counseling and how to enhance a relationship. It's very difficult, isn't it? Like a relationship that you have no argument at all, it's difficult, isn't it? Like we have siblings, sometimes we do argue, you know, and that is actually, this remind me that the other day, one of the jokes that there was a couple, and they've been married for 50 years, and they're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they're married for 50 years, they never argue. Never. Is it impossible, isn't it? You know, sometimes we still argue a little bit, isn't it? You know, but no argument. So then all the friends ask, how did you do that? How did you do that? What is your secret recipe? You know, married for 50 years, no argument, still in very good relationship. So he said, well, when I first married, you know, so when we first married, we went for our honeymoon. So we were riding on the donkey that go along and go through the canal. And then as they go through on the journey halfway, and the donkey started to stumble. And stumble. So the wife looked at donkey and said, this is the first time. Then after that, the donkey stopped stumbling. So, and they continued for a little while. And the donkey started to stumble again. And the wife said, this is the second time. So then the donkey stopped stumble. And they go on. And little while again, the third time, the donkey stumbled again. So the wife got down, pulled out her gun, and just shot the donkey. And the husband said, why did you do that? Why you shoot him? Why you shoot the donkey? You know, why you kill him? He said, and then he turned around and looked at the husband. This is the first time. So next time, if you don't want the argument, you just tell them this is the first time. And I have one of my friends, I'm really amazed at how she see us, like for example, we, our brothers and sisters, our siblings, when we see each other, we are very excited, we have lots to talk, you know. She said, for us, never. We, the sibling, she and her brother come together, always fight. You know, even any festival, any, they come together, any dinner, they end up in, you know, quarrel or fights, you know, always. She said, can never get along. It's very difficult to, you know, to get along, you know. And then they said to enhance relationship. So actually, you need to have this combination, interpersonal skill, isn't it? But nowadays, because of the mobile phone, I think now people don't even communicate much. You're talking to the gadget, to the phone, isn't it? I've seen some people, like when I was in Singapore, and I stay with a lady, and then because I have she stay many levels. She got 5 levels, so she put me on the top levels at a penthouse. And then she told me that normally how they communicate, they text. This is how, said, have dinner ready, text. Breakfast ready, text. Okay, go to bed, text, goodbye. No longer talking to each other, you know. Every go to toilet also,
text, you know, talking to the phone, always on the phone. Like nowadays, people can't live without a phone. And there was a guy, you know, when he went to the public toilet, the moment he sat down, and then he heard a voice from the next cubicle say, "Oh, how are you going?" So he said, "Okay, I'm doing well, I'm fine. So what are you doing now?" I'm sitting doing as what you do. So can I come over?" He feel a bit embarrassed. "Well, I'm a bit busy." Then after that, he heard the voice that, "Listen, I have to call you back. There is an idiot answer all my questions." And then there's some nurse, but in the phone, in the public toilet also, they carry the phone. And this is how people don't interact. And that's why it's ended up like you don't have the face-to-face talking, and you don't have the interpersonal skill. You don't know how to communicate. And this is partly also is difficult. It's ended up like, you know, people just don't really talk to each other. And partly of that, you know, and then so, yes, I'm always have to listen to all these, you know, people going through divorce, separation, and how to enhance their relationship. Of course, to be able to enhance the relationship is only not one person, isn't it? You have to both, you know. The Buddha said we don't separate we don't sacrifice ourselves for others. So in order the relationship to be able to work, actually both have the responsibility, isn't it? You can't clap your hand, isn't it? One hand, both sides. So both sides have to work together how to enhance the relationship. So it's not only from one side. So you have to have the all these qualities that you have to have the trust, respect, appreciation. I remember a few months ago, there was someone asked me a question. He said that I find myself that I very difficult to appreciate things. I very difficult to appreciate others. How can I train myself to develop that, you know, to have this quality to be able to appreciate others? Then I look at her. I said, if you want to be able to appreciate others, to have the appreciation, being someone appreciative, first of all, I said, you have to be able to appreciate yourself. Start from yourself. I said, if you're unable to appreciate yourself, it's very difficult to be able to appreciate others. Then she listened, and then sometimes later she come back to me. She said, when you said to me that because I can't appreciate, I very difficult for me to appreciate others because I don't know how to appreciate myself. And I went back, I really think of it, I really reflect and contemplate and reflect on that, investigate. And she said, it's true. She said, I noticed that I really lack of that. She don't appreciate herself, like always putting herself down. Like she always don't think that she's doing a good job, like quite negative towards herself and very judgmental towards herself and never appreciate herself, like whatever things that she does. I said, now you started to appreciate yourself. Isn't it? You have to start from yourself. And even sometimes we don't demand respect. We want other people to respect us. But first of all, do we respect others? If we want others to respect us, this is why. To have those qualities, we have to start from ourselves. Isn't it? We have to have those qualities first. But we demand, we expect others people to change, to have those qualities. We don't want to change. We expect others to fit into our, you know, to live up to our expectation. But we don't look at ourselves, actually we don't have those qualities. So like, for my position, I said, even though I'm the most senior nuns, I'm the teacher, I'm the abbot. But I don't demand respect. Because first of all, if I want all the nuns to respect me, first of all, I have to respect them first. Even small kids, you know, even my grandchildren, you know, I have to show my respect to them. Respect them. If you don't respect them, they don't respect you, isn't it? So you're teaching by example. Sometimes we demand that. We think that you should, you know, just I never think that, you know, that just because I'm senior, that you should, you know, respect me. But I have to ask myself, do I have that quality? Do I respect others? So if I don't respect others, how come I demand other people to respect us? But this is sometimes we don't see that where is the problem coming from. We keep thinking that the problem is from outside. Everybody outside, all the people around us, they should change. They should change, they should live up to my expectation. So nothing wrong with me. Sometimes we think that they're all wrong. So we imagine we want everybody around us to change, to live up to our expectation. Is it possible? It's not possible, isn't it? So it's important that we have to look within ourselves, that do we have the qualities and the trust, that the quality, like trust is important. I remember there was a lady quite many years ago, and she's just gone through a divorce. And she told me that she knows that it's coming from her. She knows that it's her problem. And she said that because of she's like really love at first sight, she really loves her husband so much and the attachment. So she constantly afraid that she's going to lose him, you know, because of the attachment. So he becomes like very suspicious, always afraid that, you know, always suspicious of him, that when he's come late, he will questions and they see, you know, and then until the point that the husband is really get fed up with her. Because imagine you go back, you're so tired and she tried to interrogate you like you're a criminal. And how do you feel always like that, you know? So they ended up that divorce, and she knows that it's from her attachment and it's from her side because of she lack of trust, lack of that confidence in the other person. Because to have the trust is important. If you have the trust in that person, actually you also help the person to develop that confidence in themselves, to have the trust in others. So she lack of that trust because of the lack of trust, and they ended up divorced. But fortunately, she learned from her mistake. But her second marriage was good. They're still good, they're still married, you know. They said sometimes people think that they want to enhance a relationship. They even come to the monastery to ask me to give them blessing so that, you know, and a wedding blessing. Then I normally tell them, my blessing doesn't work. I said, don't trust my blessing. I normally putting people off. I said, my first wedding blessing that I gave, the marriage only lasts for 9 months. So I said, oh, don't rely on me. I said, because people be superstitious, that, you know, I have to choose an auspicious day to marry, then our relationship will stay, you know, will work. It doesn't work like that, isn't it? So then when I told someone that, you know, only lasts for 9 months, and then someone said to me, you know, I have someone, my relative, that married only for 1 month, only last for 1 month. Actually, 9 months is not too bad. Maybe if without the blessing, maybe it only lasts for 1 month. The person said to me, so we all do all these sorts of, you know, we do all sorts of unnecessary things. We think that maybe we have to choose the most auspicious day. I know especially, you know, Chinese, you know, the old tradition, they all believe in all this, very superstitious. You have to choose the correct day, even the timing, you know, then your marriage will last. And actually, it doesn't work that way, isn't it? But people just believe that, they're just deceiving themselves. They believe that, oh, this my marriage will last. No, actually, have to come from yourself. Your relationship towards others, first of all, what is a relationship with yourself? So sometimes we have really bad relationship with ourselves, isn't it? We always fight with ourselves. We have so much conflict with ourselves. We have been so judgmental, you know. And sometimes people don't look at it, the relationship with oneself. It should start from oneself. How do we relate to ourselves? That is important, isn't it? We keep thinking that how to enhance a relationship, but we don't look at how we relate to ourselves. Because how we relate to others, you know, it's reflect from how we relate to ourselves. How our inner world, how we look at the world, how we relate to the outside world is very much come from our inner world. How we relate to our inner world, how we relate to ourselves. That is, we have to look in, but we keep looking outside, we think that we have to fix the problem, we have to change everybody, we have to change the environments. Maybe the job is doesn't suit me, I have to go, look for another job, another job is doesn't suit me, I look for another one. We keep thinking that we want to solve a problem in life, try to change all the things outside. It's beyond us. We cannot change whatever things going to happen to us. But our relationship, how we relate, that is important. It's not what's happening to us, it's really matter. It's our relationship. So how we relate to ourselves? Do we have the trust? Do we have the confidence in ourselves? Sometimes we lack of confidence, you know, that it's good like to have the confidence in ourselves, to have the trust in ourselves. Because when you have the trust and the confidence in yourself, then you also have the trust and confidence in others, isn't it? You have to start from yourself. But of course, you know, it's not that kind of confidence you have to build up, you know, keep telling yourself that, oh, I can, I definitely can. Like one of the songs, there's like, I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky. You know, it's not that you just believe, you know, then this is a blind faith, isn't it? A blind kind of the confidence have no wisdom. It's just blindly that I believe I can do it. No, it's not this kind. The confidence have to come from wisdom, come from the understanding. You have to know your own strength. For example, we can set the goal. You know, we can set a goal, but we can slowly achieve the goal. That is come from the confidence have to come from the wisdom, come from the understanding, and understanding one's strength, understanding yourself, to know that what we can do, what we can't. It's not that we've been negative, it's not that we don't trust ourselves. It's just like, for example, we set a goal, okay, I'm going to lift 100 kilo. Yes, even though you have full confidence that I can lift 100 kilos, you can't just lift 100 kilos, isn't it? You break your back. So yes, we set the goal. Yes, I have confidence I can do it. So you have to know how to do it, isn't it? How to achieve your goal, how to make it doable. So okay, you have to plan how to achieve your goal. Okay, you start with 10 kilos. So you keep working on, you know. Then you increase another 10 kilos, eventually you will reach 100 kilos, isn't it? It's not that I have confidence enough, I trust myself enough, I can do it. You know, the kind of, you know, we have those kind of course, you know, the kind of how to build up, how to become positive, you know. And then the kind of positiveness that is actually the kind of being positive is like very blind. They keep telling yourself that I believe I can fly. Then you go, then you just because you believe that you can fly, you go onto the cliff and you jump it down. Then you think you can fly? No, it's not just only belief. So you have to have the wisdom to understand, to know oneself, to know our strength, to know how much we can give. You know, to have the more understanding of ourselves. That's how we develop the trust, the confidence in oneself, and to have all these qualities to be able to appreciate others. And if we don't appreciate ourselves, it's very difficult for us to appreciate others. Sometimes we don't even appreciate what we have done. Rather than sometimes it's like, okay, well done, you know, good, very good. They say sometimes we don't even accept who we are. We have been so negative about ourselves. We've been so judgmental of ourselves, you know. So if we have this kind of relationship towards ourselves, is it possible that we have a good relationship with others? It's impossible, isn't it? It's very difficult because we have all those negative qualities, those negative emotion, negative qualities, being so negative. And I remember that, you know, that when I was still a lay person. And that time, I was just ordained also as an Anagarikas. Before that, because when I was a lay person, I used to be someone very, I'm someone that is a perfectionist. Everything have to be perfect. You know, I can't even stand myself if I make a small little mistake. I think that because it's not perfect, So everything have to be perfect. I remember when I first in the monastery, I can't stand people arrange the flower because they are not symmetrical, they are not balanced. Sometimes I feel really eyesore. I can't stand. I almost want to go and rearrange the flower, but I restrain myself not to do that because I know that, you know, I have to just, okay, it's okay. It's, you know, and then when I make a small simple mistake, and I really go on and on churning about, keep scolding myself. How can you make this mistake? How come you know, such a, these small little things also, you can't do it well, you know, go on and on and on. And then I noticed that, hey, I can forgive others very easy. Other people make mistakes. Oh, it's okay, you make mistakes. Why I can't forgive myself? Why I can't forgive myself that I make any mistake? Why I can allow other people to make mistakes? I can forgive other people make mistakes. But if I make mistakes, I will go on and on and on, you know. And actually, it's punishing myself, isn't it? Go on and on. Then as I practice, as I go deeper, as I have more understanding, and then I realize that the fact that I be able to forgive others easily because come from my ego. Because I think that other people not as smart as me. It's okay they make mistakes because they are not as smart as me, isn't it? So that's why I can forgive them, but not me. You know, me, you know, I'm supposed to be smarter than the other person. So how come I make this mistake? If other people, they're not as smart, it's okay they make mistakes. So that's why, I've been really deluded, that thinking that I'm so compassionate, that I'm so forgiving. But actually, I didn't see that it's come from my own ego, that because there's superiority, you think that you are perfect, you think that you're better than any other people. Then that's why it's okay that make mistake. And then we feel, oh, I feel sorry for you. And then you know, but actually, I don't really come from the true compassion and truly that with the kindness. Actually, come from my big ego. Because it's okay, because of you're not so smart. So okay that you make mistake. So I can forgive you. Like, I forgive you. the ego is really big, big ego. I forgive you. And then slowly I realized that actually come from my big ego. Then this is how slowly I be able to look inside more deeply to myself, that I realize that, you know, I think that I'm so kind, but actually I'm not that kind. I think that I'm so compassionate, I'm not so compassionate. But it takes me a while to come to a place of acceptance, accepting who I am. It's okay that I'm not perfect. It's okay that sometimes I still make mistakes. It's okay that, you know, I don't always, you know, looks great, it's okay. But to come to a place of acceptance is not easy, to accept who we are, to love ourselves as we are, and to allow ourselves to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. But sometimes we're beating ourselves up because create so much suffering. But I still thinking that there's something, that my problem is not with me. If anything go wrong, it's because of other people's problem, you know. Like sometimes, why the relationship turns sour. Partly, we are the one we contribute towards that, isn't it? Like sometimes, I remember sometimes ago, someone said to me, like she said that, you know, she find that like people, that this people always like coming to her and always like she find that she always dump, you know, like she always dump all the rubbish to her, you know. Because I said, you contribute towards that because you invite that, because she is this person is the one who always go around and try to be busybody to solve other people's problem. So then but sometimes when she has enough, people come to her, you know, to throw all the rubbish, all the problems to her, she got upset. But actually I said, you started off, you contribute to us that because you are the one who always go around and try to solve other people's problem. But of course, come to a point she has enough, Then she get fed up. She said, why these people come to bother me and throw all the rubbish to me and tell all the negative emotion and they threw it out to me. I said, you are the one who started off. You know? That's like, and then now you complain that they are the one who come. You, sometimes we don't see that we are the one who suck in the other people's negativities. And then we have people come to me, they say, oh, you know, I have to stay away from all this negative emotion, negative energy, because I don't want to get sucked into the negative energy. I said, the fact that you think that the other person having negative energy, you yourself already negative. Actually, you suck into their energy, it's not they suck your energy. And sometimes we don't see that. Because I said, you're already thinking that that person is negative, isn't it? So I said, you're already negative, and then you think that they are the one who negative, who suck your energy. But actually, you are the one who suck up others' energy. So I said, because if you don't see that all this thing is coming from us, it's very difficult we'll be able to really solve our problem, to improve our relationship, because we don't even have a good relationship with ourselves. How come we have a good relationship with others? How come we have a good relationship with the world? It's impossible, isn't it? You have to start from ourselves, to look within, to allow ourselves to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. So talk, and it's not the end of the world, and then we don't judge ourselves. Because when you judge ourselves, we judge others as well. And this is constantly we judging others. And then actually when we, in this judge, being judgmental is also unwholesome qualities and negative qualities. And imagine we always being negative, actually we have the negative emotion and we suffer. But we keep thinking that our suffering is come from others because of the people around me, they are negative, the people around me, they don't do the right thing. You know, that's why it's important that you have to develop the quality first. So develop the qualities. So allow yourself to make mistakes. You allow others to make mistakes. And be able to see the best in others. To always, if you want to find fault, anytime you can find fault, isn't it? This is that you have to train yourself to develop your mind. Develop your mind. That is okay. To develop your mind to be able to see the best in others. So allow ourselves to make mistake, allow others to make mistake, not beating oneself up. So talk about this making mistake. The other day we have a tea party with all the nuns. We sit together in the evening, and then I read this before from the Geji Gram, and then the one of the nuns also said, okay, someone asked her to repeat the story. So there was a novice monk. So the way they train is that they have to copy the scripture. They have to copy the scripture. So this is the one of the training, to copy the scripture. So then he was asked by the senior monks, you know, to copy the scripture. So then he started copying the scripture, and he asked the senior monk, he said, have anyone make mistake when they copy the scripture? Oh, not possible. I don't think. No mistake. So, but even though he said that, oh, no mistake, but he started to query. He started to, I better go and check whether any mistake. So he went to the basement and look up for the original scripts, you know, original scripture. So this novice monk was still up. Still there copying. They said, why he go to the basement for a long time? He didn't come out. Why he still there? So out of curiosity, he went down and looked for him. And then he saw this senior monk. He was there in the basement, and he keep banging his head on the wall. Then he said, what's happened? Why you bang your head in the wall? He said, there was a mistake. It's supposed to be celebrate. It's become celebrate. Because so they say he keep banging his wall. So it's all, it's just because of the spelling mistake, let the one R. So celebrate becomes elevate, he said. So he's keep banging his wall. So it's okay, we make mistake, we allow ourselves to make mistake. So it's just a joke. It's just a joke. Yeah, and we forgive ourselves, and we be able to forgive others. And it's important how we relate to ourselves. So if even people, someone said nasty thing to us, we still see the good in the person. At least to me, if someone, even someone said nasty thing to me, I said to myself, at least the person is honest to that extent. At least I see, you know, I get what I see. You know, at least I get what I see. At least the person is not pretentious. At least the person not being nice to me, very sweet in front of me, but they stab my back. So at least you always see something good. You know, even someone said, and you said to yourself that, you know, oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice forgiveness. So you always see something good. Then when you do that, actually you free yourself. And you it's such a relief, isn't it? Because when you always find fault with others, you were thinking all the negativities of others, and you got so much suffering. It is so the negative, you know, qualities, you know, leads to negative emotion. You got upset with them, got angry with them, how terrible this person is, and then the mind keep churning that on and on and on, and then we create so much mental suffering. But we always look at something good, you know. It's okay, whatever other people, like the Buddha said, it's okay whatever other people do, whatever they do to us, it's their problem. Even they've been nasty to us, it's their problem, it's not my problem. Make sure we don't do it to others. So we just, okay, it's okay, whatever you do, it's none of my business. So we be able to forgive others, whatever other people have done. This is how we relate is important to others. Because we can't change. We can't even change even sometimes our own parents, our siblings, isn't it? They're just individual beings. They have their own conditioning. It's so ingrained. It's difficult enough to change ourselves. We accept who we are. I remember, I think just a couple of weeks ago when I was in Sydney, I was giving a talk, and then someone had the comments that, okay, I really enjoy your talks. And I told the person, I said, whether you enjoyed it or not, that's what you get. I know that I do my best. So as long as we do our best, it's okay. Whether they like my talk or they don't like my talk, this is what they get. If they don't like it, too bad. You know, so we do our best. If people think that it's not good enough, too bad. So I said, I'm doing my best. If you think that it's not good enough, I said, I can't do better than best. This is my best. So always come back to ourselves. Just be honest. Whatever we do it with wholeheartedly. We give it all we got. And then we just, it's not to bother what other people say, because we cannot control. We cannot control everybody, whether, you know, they always, someone likes you, they always, someone dislikes you. But we cannot control. So we just, that's why it's good that we be at ease and at peace with ourselves. Not to have this high expectation of ourselves, to expect that everybody like me, everybody love my talk, everybody, you know. It's okay to me. It's like, if one person benefit, at least there is one person benefit. Two person benefit, that two person benefit. I look at it that way. If people, no one like me to come here to give a talk, fine. So I go back and meditate. I don't have to come here. You know, so to me, it's win-win situation. It's win. It's okay. That's why it's important how you develop your mentality, how you look at things, how you relate to things. It's not about what is going to happen to us that is really matter. So that's why, do develop that good relationship with yourself. How we relate to the situation. Do we relate to the situation with peace, with kindness, with compassion? Do we have compassion towards others? And we always, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves, like you investigate and ask ourselves, that is always how we relate to the situation. Actually, when we relate to the situation, to the moment, with kindness, with compassion, actually we free ourselves. So the whole path of practice that we keep, you know, purify our mind. So we purify our mind through restraining our mind from doing something that is unwholesome. And we cultivate good, do something that is, you know, actively, you know, doing a bit of service, doing something that is, you know, being kind, you know, active, deliberately, actively cultivate good. And this is how we purify our mind. So the Buddha said, you know, if someone speak or act with pure heart, the happiness follow you like a shadow. Sometimes our happiness, the level of our happiness is depends on our purity. You look at children, like the children, they're naturally happy, isn't it? Because the mind is pure, because our suffering is come from our defilements, our negative qualities, the unwholesome defilements that causes suffering, anger, you know, jealousy. But we don't judge ourselves, it's not that it's bad. So that's why whenever, you know, sometimes if I feel bad, they say, oh, I'm so jealous of someone, I feel terrible. I say, it's okay. When you know that you're jealous, you say, yes, I am jealous, I feel jealous now. And that's it, finish. But sometimes we go on, we try to push it away, we think that it's terrible, and then you try to judge ourselves that, how come I you know. Actually, the more you do that, actually you reinforce that. So rather we come to a place of acceptance, which is accepting. We don't identify, this is me. You know, jealousy, okay, I'm just jealousy, this is how I feel. And that's it. So because the more you try to push it away, it's, you actually reinforce. Like sometimes people try to push away the, like for example, sometimes you have unwholesome thoughts arises, and then you try to suppress it, to push it away. The harder you try, that unwholesome thoughts becomes more and more intense, isn't it? But if we accept that, we just acknowledge that, yeah, this is how I feel, and you just leave it alone, it will subside by itself. It comes and go. It's very, the practice itself actually is very simple. And it's very simple. It's just all you need to do is just to let it be. Whatever we experience in this moment, we accept it. It's okay, this is how I experience. But the problem is we try to push it away, we try to do all sorts of things, or we try to distract ourselves by doing something else and suppress it, pretend that it's not there. The more you do that, the more you're feeding it. It's just that the Buddha said, everything that survive, they need food. Even these unwholesome qualities, if you feed it, it grow. You need food. But if you don't give it food, then it will not grow. So they said the defilements won't survive if you don't feed the defilements. So that's why we don't react to it. That's why, first of all, you have to develop mindfulness, be able to be aware of that. What arises in this moment, the thoughts, whether this is negative thoughts, if I follow this trend of thoughts, it's going to lead me to more suffering. That's like the first of all, we have to develop the clarity in order to see that, be able to see that, you know, this is it. Because sometimes we don't see that, and because we've been conditioned, because we react, and then it become a default setting. And someone tell me that, oh, you know, some people, you know, how come, you know, they're still so, you know, traditional, and they're still not open. I said, because they come from the conditioning. And they said, why some women, they look down upon themselves, they always think that they're not as good. I said that because they've been told they are less, they're not good enough. And then they very difficult to change because like a default setting. You just automatically you react the same way. So they said you have to change. So it's just like you have to change, you have to redirect. You know, you have to change your habit pattern. You have to change your usual way of thinking. But to be able to change that, first of all, you have to develop mindfulness, awareness. So practice present moment awareness to aware of that. So that's why restraining ourselves, you know, keeping precept actually one way to restrain our speech, restrain our action, is help us to strengthen our mind. Imagine if we are don't even aware of what we said, what we do. So how mindful we are. So how are we going to deal with the more refined defilements? Some of the defilements are so refined, we can't really see it. And sometimes we even think that we're doing, like today we talking about how sometimes people being so helpful, they think that they're so kind, they're being helpful, but actually they create more job for you to do, you know, and then they think that they're being helpful but not helpful at all. So that's why kindness and compassion also have to have wisdom. So we have to develop the clarity. So that's why, like the Buddha said, if you want to help others, first of all, you have to be able to help yourself first. So it's like everything has to come from yourself. You're unable to help yourself, how come you help others? It's just that the Buddha said, like, you know, it's that people want to pull someone out, you know, from the mud. And then, but actually before you can pull someone up, you already get pulled in. So it's like you have to help yourself first. Develop your, train yourself, develop your mind first in order to help others. So first of all, if we want to have a good relationship with others, so first of all, do we have a good relationship with ourselves? That's why we have to come from ourselves. How we relate to the situation, how we relate to ourselves, that is, we have to start from that. That's why if we have to go within, look within. If we truly want to solve the problem and difficulties in life, that we have to look within, it's not out. Because we cannot change everyone, isn't it? But we look inside. Then if we change the way of looking at things, the way of relating to things, you free yourself. For example, even like just now I said, even someone said nasty thing to you, oh, it's not my problem. You know, like there's someone said to me that, like, that she has said something that's not very nice to someone, and this person apologized to that person, and she said, it's really bothered me because I already apologized and this person don't forgive me. Then I look at the person, I said, why the person should forgive you? I said, it's that person's problem. I said, you've done your bit. You already apologized, you already said sorry. If the person can't forgive you, it's the person's problem. So you do your part. So that's why you know that I already done my part, it's okay. But they can't forgive me, it's their problem. But sometimes we got affected, you know. So we expect others people to live up to our own expectation, but we don't see how we relate to others. That's why it's important that we change our relationship towards ourselves, start from ourselves, how we relate to ourselves. Do we have compassion towards ourselves? Do we kind to ourselves? Do we love ourselves as we are? Do we accept ourselves as we are? It's okay. We have done stupid things, silly things, we're okay. We still love ourselves like the parents love their children. Unconditional love. Do we have the unconditional love towards ourselves? That is important, have to start with ourselves. So that's why if we truly want to have a good relationship with others, so the relationship has to start from oneself. So to have a good relationship with oneself. So I offer this for Dharma Reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So this is one of the questions that said, "Dear Ajahn, I just got my dream job. But reading the suttas, the Buddha doesn't tell to get my dream job. He tells me to go forth into homelessness. How do I justify not ordaining?" That's why sometimes when reading suttas, especially, you're not ready. So it's okay. The Buddha never said that you have to, whoever practice Buddhism, you have to become a nun or a monk, you know. Oh, I also start, I'm not born as a nun, isn't it? I start from a lay person. I practice as a lay person. Don't worry about that. Every time that you're ready, you know, that you want to go forth, then you can go forth. This is sometimes like, especially for new Buddhists, you know, they read all these suttas, oh my gosh, oh, I'm going to, I have to ordain, I have to become a monk, I have to become a nun, you know. They say sometimes the suttas that normally when sometimes the suttas is more addressed to monks and nuns, you know. And then people have the misinterpretation thinking that, oh, I have to become a monk, I have to become a nun. Actually, the Buddha didn't say that. You know, it's a gradual training. We have to start with where we at, isn't it? You cannot say, oh, I start to practice Dhamma. So now I got to become a monk or a nun. No. You start from where you are. So even maybe this life also you are not ready is fine. So you don't have to become some. So you don't have to justify not ordaining. It's okay that you become a lay person to practice Buddhism. As Buddha never said that you have to become a monastic monks or nuns to practice Buddhism. Can the teaching of the Buddha cure fear and depression? Okay. A lot of people, if you come from the place that I do this practice, even to cure my depression, I can tell you it doesn't work. But definitely, the practice itself will help. When you develop your mind, the depression is come from lack of energy. When nowadays, because of lots of distraction. So the distraction, and then people think a lot. When you think a lot, your mind, you use up lots of mental energy. When your mental energy is low, how do you feel? You feel depressed. So because now so much, all this indulgence, there are lots of distraction, actually you use up lots of mental energy and the mind is so busy. And sometimes people can't even sleep because the mind cannot stop. Even they sleep, the mind still keep going. So they said, the teaching of the Buddha is actually to help you to stop, to know how to stop, to train the mind to become peaceful, become still. So when your mind becomes still and peaceful, you have lots of energy. But if you come from the place that I practice Buddhism, I practice the Buddha's teaching in order to cure my depression, I can tell you, it doesn't work that way. Like some people come to me and say, oh, they say that, meditation is helped with a migraine headache. I said, if you come from the place that you want to, you meditate in order to get rid of a migraine headache, it doesn't work. But it does help. My sister, she used to have very bad, because when you meditate, you relax. You relax your body, you relax your mind. So because sometimes the migraine is come from the tension, your body, the mind. Actually, when you meditate, actually you relax. You relax your body, you relax your mind, you release all the tension. They said sometimes people said to me, why sometimes I meditate, my body jerk, and I said it's normal because of sometimes we build up lots of tension in our body. When we relax, we let go, the body jerk. I said it's okay. So I normally ask the person, I said, is it that when you feel very peaceful? He said, yes. When you become peaceful, your mind relax, your body relax, you release all the tension in your body. So actually it does help with like migraine or whatever, because some of the illness also that the mental actually reinforce our bodily pain, our bodily suffering. Because sometimes, for example, if we have pain and we keep thinking about it, the more we think about it, you have more pain. Actually, that is actually some pain and suffering is come from the body, but most of the time, actually, mental and body, physical. So mentally, actually. Because we worrying about it, thinking about it, actually, this negative emotion, negative qualities, actually the body will affect our immune system, affect our health. And you look at those people, normally, those people, they're really health conscious. They're very conscious about their health. They are the ones very unhealthy because so much worry. Worry about the health, It's not that, what I'm saying that it's a balance, I'm not saying that, you don't look after your health, eat all the junk food. No, sometimes it's okay. Once in a while, junk food won't kill you, but not constantly worrying about your health. And then thinking, we have people that, they're so unhealthy, they're so called, they live their life so healthy. And I have someone, when they have cancer, they do not believe that, how come I get cancer? Because I always take healthy food, and I meditate, and do all the right thing. How come this can happen? How come I have cancer? How come I got this illness? Because I'm so healthy. But you think that you're healthy, but all the worries about your health itself actually is affect your immune system. So that's why if you come from a place thinking that the teaching will cure your fear and depression, sorry, it doesn't work that way. But you have to come from the place that like your practice that you just to free your suffering, and you come from the place is not that to get something. So the whole path of practice is to let go, but not to getting, you know. Some if you think that you want to get somewhere, you want to attain certain stage, you never get there. Because you want to get something that is a craving. So the whole path of practice is to stop the craving. So to stop. So they say if you come from the place, so it doesn't work. So then the third question. Intoxication is encouraged among relations around me. It feels stressful to approach the fifth precept topic, which goes against the tradition. Is okay to just wait for an opportunity? Yeah, sometimes it's difficult, but actually taking alcohol itself is not the it's not immoral by itself. The act by itself is not immoral. But after thinking that because of it confuse your mind, but if you want to practice, you want to meditate, then that because the alcohol itself like confuse your mind, so you don't have the clarity. So they say sometimes that we have to make a decision. I keep telling people. That you know that people try to fit the Dharma into their life, but not the life into the Dharma. So we have to change our lifestyle, isn't it? Like so if some people say, oh, I want to meditate, you know, then they say, oh, how can I meditate? Then I still can go partying and do all sorts of things. I said, if you want to have a peaceful mind, you have to find a peaceful place. You cannot go to disco, go to nightclub to find look for peace. This is how sometimes you have to make the choice, isn't it? So yes, I know it's difficult, but even my family, like my brothers also, he don't take alcohol. And I remember he said when he first said that, especially with his colleague, it's so difficult that will make him drink. Then he just said no. Then over a period of time, they just get used to it. They just don't ask him to drink because they know that he won't drink. But at the beginning, maybe it's a little bit difficult, but to be firm, but in a nice way, in a kind way, to say, sorry, you know, I'm not taking it. So that's like, that's why it's a bit difficult, but it's possible. You know, you just be firm, say the sorry, I don't drink. So, dear Ajahn, Buddha is sometimes described as the one who could absolutely control his mind. How does this relate to letting go and not trying to control things? So because the more we control, you know, the more suffering we are. Because basically we can't control. Things go its own way. They said this is the reason why the Buddha asked us to let go. You know, can we control our body not to get old? Cannot. Can we control our body not to get sick? Cannot. But we get so upset when we grow old, when we get sick. So can we control the disasters like now the COVID-19? We cannot control. It's happened. We cannot control. But we try to control. That's why because we control, we create lots of suffering for ourselves. But rather than we just whatever experience, whatever that we happen to us, and that's why we have to change ourselves, change our mentality, how we relate to the situation. So if we be able to relate to the situation with kindness, with peace and compassion, then actually we free ourselves. That is letting go. So the problem, our problems come from we are too controlling. We try to control everybody. Can you control? We can't even control our children, isn't it? The more we control, the worse. You know, I have someone that been the father been very controlling. And she grown up that she has to be very ladylike. She have to wear skirt and have to play piano, you know, really ladylike. I have to cannot cut her hair, have to be long hair. The father is very controlling. I can tell you, the moment that she be able to leave her family, when she go to America to do her master degree, she free. She go there and then not allowed to have any junk food at all. When she was free, when she left her hometown for America, when he studied her master degree there, she cut her hair with all sorts of funny hair, and then she dressed really funny because she was suppressed, being controlled, and she didn't like it. And this is the time she, actually, the more you suppress, the action and reaction, the same energy, you know, it bounced back, the same thing. And then she, because she was so strict, not allowed to eat any junk food, she ended up, you know, she never eat proper meal. How a meal is that? One tub of ice cream, Coca-Cola, big liter, 1 liter. This is her meal every day. And then they said she ended up quite young age. She already had osteoporosis because of too much of this Coca-Cola and the ice cream, one big tub. This is her meal. Because when she was young, not allowed to have it. So when she had the chance to do it, she really crazy. You know, they said the more you suppress, the more you suppress, you try to control, the same intensity is bounced back. So they said it's come from the controlling, we try to control. They said we create lots of suffering to ourselves, but because it's beyond control. Isn't it? We sometimes like things that, you know, like lots of times, like when last beginning of the month, I be able to go to Sydney and I come back, I don't have to quarantine. But now they change again. Some of the nuns can't even go back. They have families in Sydney. They can't go back. And it's just changed. We cannot control. But if we get upset, then we suffer, isn't it? Because we understand that. You know, yes, we can control. We can only control the bit that we can control is to restrain our mind doing something that is unwholesome, that being harmful to ourselves. That we can train that. We can train our mind to do that. But we cannot control outside things. So because it's a part of life. Things are permanent, and we subject to old age. We subject to illness, we subject to death. Whether you're ready or not, by the time you need to, if times comes that, you know, you need to leave the world, you cannot say, excuse me, can you wait for a little? I'm not ready yet. Whether you're ready or not, the time comes, you die. You know, that's why this is how, it's not try to control things that bring us suffering. It's not that, it's the Buddha never judge. It's not that it's good or bad. So the Buddha's teaching is that whatever things that is unwholesome, unskillful will give you suffering. If whatever things that is skillful, is wholesome that you do, bring you happiness. It's not good or bad. If you want to control things, it's fine. Because then you can continue to suffer. It's not good or bad. So you make your own choice that whether you want to continue to suffer, whether you want to let go or you not want to control things. That's like, how does it relate to letting go? Because the letting go is not doing anything. Allow thing be. Whatever happened is okay. So letting go is acceptance, is also letting go. Letting thing be is also letting go. Letting go is not getting rid of things, not try to control things. Because when we control, we suffer, isn't it? The more you control, the worse. So that's why the letting go itself is not getting rid. The letting go is that it allowed thing be, it's okay. Whatever happened to us, we be equanimous, it's okay. So we are not affected by whatever happened to us. That is letting go. Letting go is not getting rid of things. Letting go is just being present, being, you know, just experience as just being in this present moment. Whatever happened, we just be able, you just being with that, that even with fear, we just being with the fear. Because this thing, when you don't have to, you don't have to control, it will go away by itself. That's why the whole path of practice is very simple. You don't have to do anything, but it's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? Not to do anything is difficult, because all this come and go. It will go by itself. If you leave it alone, it will pass. It will subside by itself. But it's very difficult because we've been conditioned. Whatever that is unpleasant, we try to push it away or we run away. And anything that is pleasant, we got attached. We become so greedy. We try to hold on to it. We try to make it stay. It's impossible. For example, pleasant feelings arises. We want to make it stay longer. You can't, isn't it? We look back in our life, all these happy moments, where is it now? It's gone, isn't it? Comes and go. Even the most wonderful experience, it won't stay forever, but you cannot make it stay. It come and go. The same thing. So at the end of the day, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it comes and go, it doesn't matter. But we create lots of suffering. We only want praise. We only want good things happen. We don't want any criticism. It's not possible. Then we try to control. They said the more we try to control, the more suffering may be. Because basically, we cannot control. When we control, we suffer. Because all things go its own way, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, we're going to grow old. Whether we like it or not, we're going to get sick. So when we grow old, you know, the memory is gone. Like I remember that there was a joke that said, you know, when we grow old, three things happen. First, your memory goes. And I don't remember the other two. But we try to control. And they said more suffering. They said actually the practice is very simple. You just leave it, you know. Depression come, depression go. When you depress, you leave it alone. The depression will subside by itself. Whatever mental state we go through actually comes and go. But the problem is, we think that it's wrong. We think that we shouldn't feel this way. That's why we do all sorts of things, try to get rid of it. The more you try to get rid of it, the more you try to control, you make it worse. So I hope this answer this person's questions. So any more questions or comments from the audience here? Yes. There's a mic. There's a mic, you can use a mic here, so there.
Ajahn Hasapana, thanks for the wonderful deep talk. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. You know, yeah. So the thing is, it all comes, you know, your teaching, you know, the Buddha telling us our mind is a forerunner of all states. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, like just now the question on depression, you know. Mm-hmm. I just want to, you know, yeah. So depression is prolonged stress, anxiety, you know. So we keep loading our mind, you know, with all the negative things. This thing overloads, then it sort of how to say it breaks down, and the whole system becomes sick. Yeah. So the bearing in mind the Buddha's teaching, the mind is a forerunner of all states. And I also read in a source, you know, it says our thinking, you know, our Buddhist thinking, we can only how to say the mind, the how to say. The thinking, we can't mix the good together. It goes like, you think good, one stage, and then good, bad. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't be good and bad together. It goes good or bad. So we have to put in all the more positive thoughts, you know, to drown the negative thought. Like what you're saying, yeah. Too, like, you know, all this, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to think of a way. I mean, we have to calm ourselves down. Mm-hmm. And to sort of to, because you can't fight it. If you fight it, this thing, okay, you go through a lot of all, you say that the anxiety, you know, you're trying to cure yourself. You cannot. You're fighting it. You know, all this fear. If it doesn't work, the fear. You know, we have to be more natural and to put more of the Buddha's. You know. You see what I mean? Yeah, it's a very deep thing, you know.
Yeah. It's just like the Buddha said that how we develop our mental habitual pattern. Mm-hmm. So when our thoughts arises, mm-hmm. then we manifest into our speech. Mm-hmm. You know, we think about it inside inner chatter. Mm-hmm. So then slowly we manifest into action. Mm-hmm. Then we repeatedly doing the same thing, we react the same way, we develop a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it becomes a you're like part of your personality. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. So the whole part of practice is to you have to recondition yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just like you brainwash yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to think. You have to do a different thing. You have to you know. But for example, if someone being always finding, never see any good in others, so you have to train your mind to see something good in others. Mm-hmm. It's just like you have to dig a new channel. Mm-hmm. So before the new channel deep enough, sometimes you still fall back to the old channel. So all you need to do, you have to keep practicing until your new channel, your new habit, that it becomes really more ingrained. So the new habit, the new channel, you have to be deeper than the old channel. Then only, if not, sometimes you still fall back to the old. It's just the Buddha said we develop the habitual pattern. So we that's why we develop the habitual pattern, it's like an addiction. Even though we know that, you know, reacting and reacting to the anger, you know, and we know that we've been negative, you know, we know that fault finding is causes suffering, but we can't help ourselves doing it. Because it's like an addiction. That's why we have to change that. So that's why it's a gradual training, take lots of practice.
Also, you know, when we have a problem, there's a tendency for us to make it, we focus and we magnify it, you know, to make it big, you know. You know? Yeah. So this one I learned from the Dalai Lama, you know. If you have this problem, what you do is you should think of, what I'm experiencing is small, you know, compared to other big things, you know. Worst things that would happen, you know. So in that, if you think that way, your problem becomes small.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? There are big things too. It's just so small. Once we tend to magnify, you know. We think it's the end of the world, which is not. But there's a tendency. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Because sometimes when you focus, for example, if you've been bitten by mosquito, if you don't pay attention, if you're watching television, you don't even know there's mosquito, you know, that mosquito bite. But if you focus on the mosquito beating you, you feel that, wow, it's terrible. Because you manifest. Because sometimes when you focus, we make it become like unbearable. So then I remember there was a story from Achan Cha that he's, you know, every day after Dana, he talked to the lay people. And then of course people come to him, will tell Achan Cha all the problems, you know, and all the problems that the difficulties and they have to face in life. So then they're all complaining the problems, you know, to Achan Cha. Then suddenly he saw a man coming in and he take a seat and sit at the back. Then he knows something wrong with the man, so he asked that man what happened. He said, morning when he go to work, so then the wife and two children, so the wife go and pick all the mushroom. So the husband and two children have eaten the poisonous mushroom. When he arrived home, the three of them died. So then everybody here heard that, you know, actually mine is not a big deal. Sometimes we think that our problem is so great, you know, we think unbearable. Oh, it's so unfortunate what this happened to me. There are thousands of people worse than us, isn't it? So that's actually the moment when everybody heard the person said that, everybody keep quiet. Actually nothing. My problem is not a problem at all. Sometimes we tend to make it a problem. Even sometimes we have people come to me and say that, how come I feel depressed? Because I have a good family, everything good, I got my job. I said, And then she think that it's wrong. I shouldn't feel that way. I said, don't worry. I said, you just leave it alone. It will subside by itself. Yeah. We even have very good, we have someone really a good meditator, meditate for many years, and she's really, really very kind. She said even once also, she certainly when she meditate, the depression just, she just feel depressed. Mm. And she just stay there. She just stay with the depression. She feel depressed, just certainly, it just come in, certainly comes up, you know, arise, it come, arouse that kind of, that feelings of so depressed, you know. She says she also don't know where is it coming, but it just comes out. And then she just sit with that, and then it just subside. So nothing wrong, you just let it come, and you let it be, it go away by itself. But the problem is, we think that it's wrong, so we make it wrong. We think that we shouldn't feel that way. So, because we identify as like, if I depressed now, I should depress for the rest of my life. If I feel agitated now, I should agitate for the rest of my life. I remember someone said to me that I'm so agitated right now, so I'm going to a retreat, so I will have a very agitated, irritated retreat. So I look at the person, I said, even the most agitated person in the world, they still have a moment they're not agitated. I said, sometimes we identify that. We think that we have to live up to that. Actually, it's no, you just let it be. It comes and go by itself. Yeah. They said the teaching, the practice itself is very simple, but of course it's not easy.
Yeah.
To do nothing is difficult.
Yeah.
We have to do something because we've been conditioned, we have to do something, yeah. We have to control, we have to do something. But it's not to do anything, it's very difficult. Like people think that, oh, doing nothing, that means you sit there doing nothing. Oh, you can sit there doing nothing, but your mind is very busy. Mm-hmm. Your mind is still doing. Mm-hmm. The thinking itself is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So to stop that thinking is not easy. Mm-hmm. To allow things be is actually, it takes lots of practice. Yeah. Even though it's not easy, but actually it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Also prolonged depression, you know, mind over matter, the whole system, you know, we are sick mentally and physically too,
affects
our hormones, the energy, all these things, you're sick, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to sort of, you go and see the doctor, they can only give you this medication, so you have to do it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yourself, because you know, from the
mental suffering greater than the physical suffering. Mm. That's why people have this self-harm. Because when they self-harm, actually it takes away the mental suffering. Mm. Because when you focus on the pain on your body, actually it takes away the suffering, the mental suffering. Mm. There's sometimes, but it's not a skillful way to resolve the mental suffering. It's been unskillful. Yeah. And you got addicted, people addicted to that. Because it takes the minds away. Like for example, like into drugs, alcohol also, because it's too painful. So then you do something else. So your mind is there. So you distract your mind. So you don't have to look at it, you don't have to face it. But this is not a skillful way. So actually it getting worse because you reinforce and make it even worse, and not a skillful way to deal with our emotion. We have to release the emotion. We have to resolve the emotion, because if we don't resolve, it's still there. Doesn't mean that we pretend that it's not there, we distract ourselves, it's still there. So we really have to look at it. We really have to stay with that. The best way to stay with that unpleasantness, but because of we being conditioned, anything unpleasant we want to run away. So actually you stay with that, even with fear, you stay with that. When the fear hit the maximum, it will subside by itself. Yeah. It bound to subside. Yeah. It will not keep going up. It's reached the max. Yeah. It will subside by itself, everything. Yeah. But that's why it takes a lot of practice. That's why to be able to stay with the fear, that just with non-reactive awareness, first of all, you have to develop the stability of your mind. Mm. Your mind have to be calm enough, stable enough to stay with that, because it's very difficult, it's unpleasant. So if your mind is not strong enough, not stable enough. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. You say even the qualities of patient, very difficult to become patient if your mind is not stable. Mm-hmm. It's not like using willpower that, you know, I'm patient. It's not. Actually, truly you be able to stay. Being equanimous, that actually takes a lot of practice. You have to develop the stability. Your mind have to be stable enough to be able to stay with the unpleasantness. So when and something pleasant, we become so greedy, we get attached, we want more. Then again, we reinforce our craving, we want more and more. So that's why to be able to stay, not to get affected. So your mind have to be stable enough to say no to unwholesome qualities and this unwholesome emotion.
Thank you very much.
So any more questions or comments? No more questions? No more comments? Okay. Okay. So thank you for coming.